been avoiding conflict lately? Are you afraid that if you speak your truth to someone, you might damage the relationship permanently? Is inner conflict eating you up inside? Maybe you're thinking one thing, but doing another, and you just can't seem to get your head and heart to line up. As humans, we all deal with conflict. Join Jennifer McKenna now as she talks to business leaders about the importance of conflict and how we can all move through it with greater grace and ease, ultimately taking our relationships and our lives to the next level by facing conflict courageously.
Welcome, everyone, to our first episode of Conflict Rising, where we will have a series of conversations about all the conflict in our culture, how we can move through it and be a light in the darkness right now. So today's guest is my dear friend and coworker associate, Rebecca Turk. So Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Rebecca, for those of you who don't know, actually is behind this show. She works behind the scenes, and much of this was her baby in terms of the idea to do the show and all it takes to put the show on. So first, I want to thank you for doing that because, you know, as I run into multiple different directions, I'm not necessarily the most focused person. And this is something that you and I are both passionate about, talking about, and something that we do for a living with JMAC Consulting. So for those of you who don't know, I am the founder and CEO of JMAC Consulting, and Rebecca is on board as the Director of Corporate Communications, and she's also an associate who she also does coaching and consulting around change and culture change specifically. So because we see this in the workplace all the time in the corporate sector, we decided that maybe we want to take this to a larger conversation. You know, we see the highs and lows and the trials and tribulations when corporate cultures are still functioning, maybe like, you know, they did in the 90s. And in today's world, that's really difficult for employees. We have millennials that have come into the workforce. We have generational differences of opinion of how things need to go. We have working parents who want more work-life balance. We have all kinds of challenges in the workplace. And so we help come in and facilitate that transformation to be able to do business better, stay focused, get the same profitable outcomes, but allow for the workforce to be healthier. So when we looked out at the greater landscape of our culture as a country, as a globe, you know, even the whole world, we look around and we see, boy, our greater culture could use some work too. So this is why we're talking today. Let me give you a little bit of a background between Rebecca and I, and then I'm going to let her take over. Rebecca is the reason why I actually live and work in Atlanta, Georgia. I grew up in southern Indiana, went to school at Purdue University in northern Indiana, got tired of Indiana, no offense to anyone in the great Midwest. I loved it growing up, but I was ready for a cultural shift personally. So I headed south. Landed in Atlanta, was looking around, decided I have got to work here. I want to move here. I want to live here. And Rebecca opened that door and hired me. So we have come full circle because now I am hiring her. She has been with JMAC Consulting for the past, I don't know how long, 6 months, 9 months, almost a year. And so I'm thrilled to death. We've been friends all these years in between, which is 24 to be exact. And so you may hear us talk casually to each other. We both have multiple names and identities. I'm known as Jennifer. I'm known as JMAC. To some people, I'm Jenna. To some, I'm Jen. To my family, I'm Jenny. And I call Rebecca Beck. So as you hear us get a little more casual with each other, that's why. So Beck, on that note, I'll let you give a little bit about your background, why you joined JMAC Consulting, why cultural conflicts are so important to you.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so happy to be a part of the team. And I have kind of had an interesting journey myself. We worked together in nonprofits for many years. And then I wanted to move more into the corporate sector. And I've lived in London for a while and in California, just moving around to places that I found really interesting and wanted to experience. And I've moved into more of marketing, branding, communications, public relations, and really helping brands really build upon their brand. Working with a lot of entrepreneurs and helping them to build their companies. I worked with Spanx for many years, and I worked with a gaming controller company called Scuf Gaming. But what I found was I really would connect with the entrepreneur or the owner of the company and really fell in love with their vision and wanting to help them build this great new company. And so for me, I've seen a lot of the same issues come up for entrepreneurs. You know, with these great big visions, there's a lot of work that goes into building that company and all of the pain points that entrepreneurs go through when they have a big vision and they want to make this come to fruition, which is, you know, it's just par for the course. But it's great for a lot of reasons, but then with other employees who are accustomed to a really structured environment, it can be pretty painful in the process. So for me, I felt like I really learned a lot about working in those types of environments and helping other employees to navigate that space and to really learn how to grow in their own careers and how to help them have a better understanding of how to handle that kind of stress in their life as well. So I'm really, one of my last positions, I took on more of a coaching role, an advising role, and I really loved it. And I loved how people grew from that and were able to respond. And so when the opportunity came to work with Jen and J-Mac, I was very excited about that opportunity to take what I'd learned and to really build on that and to help grow JMAC Consulting and scale the business as well. So it's exciting for me to be a part of this and to take what I've learned and be able to apply that to what we're doing now.
And I feel extremely fortunate to have you. And boy, have we been working hard at growth.
Yes.
So Beck, tell us also why you thought this radio show was important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, there's so many topics that there's so much being thrown at us right now, right? Like our world feels like it's really coming at us in every direction, like personally, professionally, culturally. There's so many issues, there's so much in the news, there's so much on social media, and we are just bombarded with conflict and in all different parts of our lives. And I think the part that's really missing is to really help us understand and have a voice of reason and a dialogue, communication about all of the different things that are going on in the world, you know, that I find really interesting and compelling, and I have lots of opinions, but I want to also hear other people's opinions, because I think that's what we're really missing, is to really have a dialogue and to be able to talk about it, talk about things honestly and openly and authentically, to where we're not just pushing our opinion down people's throats, but we're actually taking the time to listen and to express how we feel and to have a little insight maybe into other people's situations. If they've gone through something that's traumatic or have experienced conflict and how they've been able to help themselves and resolve that within themselves or been able to find ways of coping. I think it's important for us to know more about that and to have a better understanding of it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And you know, you touched on such an important point when conflict is involved, and that is listening, right? Conflict starts from within. We have inner conflict before we ever even get to the external conflicts. And a lot of times the inner conflict is unconscious. So when we have large groups of people who are just fighting outside themselves with other people, or other people's ideas, then we have a tremendous amount of conflict and a lot of residual impact that's negative. And so let's do a deeper dive into that whole concept of conflict and why it's actually important. You know, we chose the name Conflict Rising because when you look out at the greater culture, it feels as though everywhere you turn, there is nothing but conflict and division. And there are times when that conflict becomes so acute and so pervasive that it feels overwhelming. And then if we're just watching it in the news or reading it in the paper or hearing about it, you know, from our neighbor and seeing it on social media, and then we're just being bombarded with the same bad news, and it's something that we don't feel we have any control over, then it can actually feel we can feel very helpless and hopeless. So, you know, when we discussed this show and the idea behind it and the theme of it, what we touched on was it's super important that we highlight the importance of conflict, because it is conflict that gives us clarity. And if everything were smooth sailing all the time and everything were, you know, positive and beautiful, we really wouldn't stretch and grow. We would find our tribe, we would stay with our tribe, we would have a bunch of people around us who think like we do, and then chances are good we would find conflict within that over time because, well, we're not all robots and we're not all clones. We all have feelings, we all have thoughts, we all have beliefs, and those don't always mesh even with the people we love the most. So when we have this greater landscape of conflict, we need to feel like we can be empowered within that, and we can actually start to move the needle from that point of conflict to that transformative moment, and then have a new paradigm to live by, whether it's in a relationship or, you know, a whole culture. So let's doing that deep dive, going into that dark point, going into why conflict is so important. Rebecca, do you have anything that you want to share around that? How you see conflict in the culture, in your own life, why you thought it was so important that we highlight it here?
Sure. Well, for me, you know, I was a workaholic, and I would wear myself down to the bone, and the only saving grace for me was either go for a run, go do yoga as much as possible, go on a vacation to set myself straight again, and I just found that I would work, and then try to cram in as much relaxation time and downtime to reset myself, only to go back and work again. So for me, it's all about balance and understanding how you must have balance in your life. You can't force so much in one direction that you're not taking care of yourself in other directions, you know, in other places in your life where you really need it. You need that time and that clarity. And I highly recommend yoga. I'm a huge believer in it, or even just going and taking a walk, getting in nature, but just decompressing from the stress of life. Because when you think about it, it's just like, what is all this for anyway? You know, we have, you know, we push ourselves to these points of breaking, but what's the real point of it? You know, we have our relationships that we neglect, and we have, you know, families, and when we're just pushing ourselves to that point, or we're just worrying about the world and the state of the world, you know, if you just take a step back and allow yourself to take that time to really decompress and reset yourself, and you can do that on a daily basis. You know, you can take some time in your daily life just to say, I'm going to set this aside for myself, even if it's 15 minutes, even if it's taking a hot salt bath. You know, you put your Himalayan salt or your Epsom salt in your bath, and you just say, I'm going to take 15 minutes to myself, and just, it really just helps to clear your mind. And I just feel like that's so important for us as a society to remember that we're not on a treadmill that we can't get off of, that there is, you know, there is life outside of just killing yourself with work, to really think about the things that really matter in your life and have gratitude and have focus on just having a more balanced lifestyle. So, I mean, those are a few things that I would recommend, in response to, you know, what I have done personally to handle some really stressful times in my life.
Yeah, and I think to your point, when we do overwork and we do spread ourselves thin, much more vulnerable to feeling overwhelmed by the greater landscape, right? All the world's issues that come barreling down on us when we already feel so worn out by our own lives. And so it makes us very susceptible to darker emotions that last longer and lead to bigger issues, suicidal tendencies, abuse, depression, physical health issues, chronic health issues, terminal health issues. You know, I mean, that having that ability to take care of ourselves and be fully aware of how we are starting ourselves off in that unconsciously abusive way, right? Being the mice on the wheel or whatever it is that you want to call it, where we're just running ourselves ragged, and being more mindful of taking care of ourselves first and understanding that we've got to do that before we have any capacity to make change beyond ourselves. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to do a deeper dive into some specific cultural issues that may bring us down and what we can do to bring ourselves back up. So we'll talk to you again in a few minutes.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back, everyone. So we are talking to Rebecca Turk, who is on the JMAC consulting team and who helped birth the idea of the Conflict Rising radio show. And so today's episode is our first, and we are talking about why we decided to do a show on culture and why we named it Conflict Rising. What does it mean to us? So welcome back, everyone. Rebecca, my first question in this second portion of the hour is, what cultural issue affects you the most when you look out on the greater landscape? You know, we've been talking about our work habits and stress and the culture, corporate culture, and how it's affected us and what we've done. But when we look at the greater landscape, there's so many hot, divisive issues today. What one issue do you find brings you down the most mentally, psychologically?
I think for me, it's been the political divide. You know, I was a press intern between my junior and senior year in college, and I went to Washington, D.C., and I, you know, went to a women's college in Georgia, and then I had this opportunity to, you know, leave small town Georgia and go to Washington, D.C., and experience working for, he was a Democratic senator from Georgia at that time, and I just saw how great the system was, you know, with its flaws, but how people really worked across the aisle, that they, you know, Republican and Democrat, you know, there would have a softball team that would, you know, have rivals on the other Republican softball teams. And, but it was great because you could have these fun rivalries and you could still work together to bring about some great legislation and have bipartisan rule, because, you know, we are a country made up of Democrats, Republicans, independents, you know, all in between. But I just feel like now we are just at such a negative point where there's so much divide and people really aren't talking to one another. They're not listening to one another. It's kind of my way or the highway. And I think that this is, it's such a dangerous point in our country. And I just feel like we just keep swinging our pendulum so far. I would just love to see people be able to communicate again. You know, if I were president, right, I would have a cabinet made up of both Democrats and Republicans and independents as well. I just think that we are more than just these individual thoughts and ideas and this need to be so tribal, to be so, this is my way, and if you don't believe in my way, then I don't want to have anything to do with you. And, you know, I just feel like it's really sad that we've come to this point, you know, and I do have strong opinions, but I'm going to listen to what other people have to say as well. I feel like I've grown up enough over the years to know that there are other ways of looking at things and that you should be open to that and should be open to having a conversation about it. But for me, I think that's the scariest part for me, and the one that makes me feel, you know, a little hopeless at times, because of our, you know, our strong differing opinions and the unwillingness to work together. And so for me, I think that's probably the biggest issue right now.
Well, I think that's a huge one, and I love that you cited it, because it does feel as though our country was born on a political divide in many ways. And mm-hmm. So it's such a fundamental part of who we are. It's almost like the backbone of our country, right? Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you could say reasonably say that governance and politics are the backbone of every society. But what I mean by that is it's in our DNA to disagree. You know, we rebelled against England and started a country. So it's part of who we are. However, we seem to have lost our compassion and our decorum and our ability to disagree in a way that keeps us a United States. Now, that's just in our country. But when you look at the global landscape, we don't look a whole lot different from a lot of other countries out there. And what I like to actually investigate are those countries who are doing it well, right? And why isn't the light shining on them a little bit more so everyone else can learn from it? I feel as though, I'm not sure if it was Dr. Phil who coined this phrase, but he comes to mind right now. But the question always was, do you want to be right or do you want to be effective? And to your point, with no one listening and everyone talking and beating their thoughts and opinions onto each other's heads and then using all kinds of manipulative tactics to drive it into law or to drive it into some kind of a public truth through a social media outlet, you know, those are all, I mean, it's just playing dirty, right? It's just, it runs on a spectrum from sometimes overt, what would you call it? Just corruption, right? All the way to the lighter side, which is just annoying manipulation. But no matter what you look at it, all we're doing is driving more division because people aren't listening. People aren't respecting. I mean, I read an article once that talked about the history of, you know, when did liberal become a dirty word, right? Because there's a whole faction of conservatives who actually think that liberal is a criminal. You're putting my life at stake because you have liberal views, you know. So when we have a belief system that is that strong, how do you overcome it? What is it that we need to do as a society, both nationally and globally, to start to come together? And those are the things that I do want to talk about in the third part of the hour, is to get to some real kind of next steps, tips, and techniques for our listeners. But in the meantime, you know, touching on that political divide, I do feel like that's also what's behind so much of the ugliness with some of the other cultural issues, right? When you look at the LGBTQ community and they're just trying to get the same basic rights as the next person, and that's become a political divide, right? You look at women's rights and their healthcare rights and their rights to make decisions about their own bodies, that's become a political divide. You look at these racial issues and the whole movement around Black Lives Matter, well, that seems to have become a political divide. So I think you've touched on something very powerful that's behind, or maybe not behind, but perpetuating the division in all of these subsets of our society. And it's deeply disturbing, and it does make us, many days feel like our country and our world have become completely compassionless. That we've removed human feeling and replaced it with, pardon the expression, but sociopathic tendencies. So your thoughts on that? How do you, agree with that?
No, I do. And it's such a funny, it's kind of one thing leads to the next. I mean, it's just, you know, we're, even in Georgia, we're right now, they're legalizing parts of, medical marijuana, right, on one side. And then, the abortion bill, in banning what was, you know, legal is no longer legal. So it's interesting as far as our rights are concerned. You know, and I personally just feel like human rights are very important. And when you start taking those human rights away, it's a slippery slope. And but that those are my views on that. But I just feel like that's what's happening, you know, is everybody's kind of putting their own focus, and whether that's a religious focus, you know, understanding what is behind it all, to know that, like, we as people can't be trusted to do the right thing in certain situations, or, you know, you're trying to protect the mother in certain situations. Like, it's just, for me, it's like understanding why, you know, people feel like something wasn't already working well enough as far as the abortion issue is concerned. Why was that, what was already in place, not working well enough that they had to change that? And understanding that, you know, I'm a firm believer in medical marijuana being legalized. And I hope that, honestly, I hope that they will legalize it across the country, because I don't think it's right for one state to have something legal and the next state for it to be criminalized. I think that's just a flaw in our, you know, in our society. But there's so many, I mean, there's so many different issues that are trigger points, right? And it actually causes such pain and discourse for people in so many different ways and on both sides. So it's you know, it's really interesting to see the dynamics of why people are triggered by certain issues. And so deeply, right? Like gun laws, like that's a huge issue for our country. And people have very, very strong opinions about it. And it's just one of those things where I just feel like we have to work together to create better laws for our country, you know, for society to, it's as if, you know, we're going to continue to have things that come up over and over again, like these mass shootings. And when you do nothing about it, when you do, you know, you do not create any better. I mean, why? Okay, so this is one thing. Why should someone be able to operate a gun when they haven't even gone through the same type of process that someone has to operate a motor vehicle? Like, that's something that just seems like common sense to me. Like, why wouldn't you have to go and actually learn how to use a gun if you're going to own a gun? To me, that just seems like it's irrational. But I have lots of opinions about lots of things, so I'm probably off track.
I think what you're describing is a perfect example of what we are struggling with culturally, which is when laws are being pushed from a belief system as opposed to more objective, common sense, or a statistic data-based kind of approach, mm-hmm. right? What are we left with?
Right.
Then all logic's been thrown out the window. And you know, working in the workplace with leaders through conflict and cultural shifts, I have lots and lots and lots of tools that I bring out to address these things, you know, more holistically. But one of them is the way we think as human beings. We're all wired differently, but there are multiple assessments that kind of categorize us. And one of those is the way we make decisions. Half the population makes the decisions based on logic, half makes based on feelings. Well, it depends on what people deem logical, and it depends on where they're deriving their feelings, right? So if their feelings are being derived from a belief system that says guns are the way to safety, which we see all the time, that seems completely illogical to those of us who think we should definitely at least go through some kind of safety check, as you said, just like going to the DMV. Nobody wants to go to the DMV and have to go through the testing to get their driver's license. No one wants to stand in line to get it renewed. No one wants to deal with all that red tape, but you have to do it to drive a motor vehicle, right? So to your point,
right.
Where is that logic? Whose feelings and what beliefs are intervening on those basic common sense rules, which is why it, you know, they became known as common sense gun laws that they were trying to initiate. However, again, it became a political divide. So I think when we step back, we use that as an example, right? There are multiple examples. We could throw out 36 examples easily, but I think you've illustrated a really good one in that oftentimes the conflict is born out of radically different beliefs, radically different beliefs, right? So if one person's belief is the only way we will ever feel safe is to own a gun, and another person's belief is the only way I'm going to feel safe is if we put some parameters around your gun ownership, then where do we go? Where do we go from there, right? And I do think that the points you made earlier are what we need to revisit. It's listening. Are we really trying to understand the person, or are we just beating our opinions on each other's heads? And right now, it looks like the latter, right? We have a president who goes out on social media and throws his opinions out all the time. And then the people that have the same beliefs he had, they feel very empowered. The president feels this way too. Meanwhile, there was very little listening involved before those opinions got thrown out into the public landscape. So we've got all kinds of habits and issues that are perpetuating our cultural issues. And when our leadership isn't listening, it makes it super, super challenging for the rest of us to feel as though we can make an impact. But, you know, there are ways to do that. And we see people every day. I mean, as I said in the beginning of the show, conflict is our way to clarity. Without conflict, we don't get inspired toward change. Right? Sometimes we do if we get really super excited about something we want, because it's my belief that love is the only thing that can challenge fear, right? Those are the two polar opposite energies. So if your belief system's based in fear, you have to love something and want something and be passionate about something more to push you through those fears, to make you want to change to get it. So I think conflict plays a huge role in inspiring and motivating us toward positive change. So if you think about something, Rebecca, in your life that has challenged you, when we come back, I want to talk about how you move through the conflict, and then we're going to give our listeners some real practical tips and tools on what they can do to feel more empowered to move through conflict and make some cultural shifts.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. I have Rebecca Turk here with us on the show today. Rebecca is my coworker, associate, a very important team member on the JMAC consulting team. And she is very much the person behind wanting to launch the show and helping to get it launched. So I am very fortunate to have her in my life and in this business. And so I am grilling her with all kinds of cultural questions today. So Rebecca, as we round out the hour, I wanted to ask you about conflict. What has it taught you? If you think about a tough time in your life, you know, you talked earlier about when you were living a very stressful life from the corporate demands of your career. If you think about a time when you went through a very acute conflict, what did conflict teach you? I don't want to put you on the spot to bare your soul and tell an intimate story, but if you want to, go for it. but at the very least, I'd just love to hear, you know, the power of conflict for you. What has it taught you?
I think for me, I mean, a couple of experiences come to mind. I did go through a very painful divorce. I'll just use that as an example, because I did learn so much from it. I was basically a perfectionist growing up. I felt like everything had to be perfect. I had to be a great student. I had to be a great person. I had to be perfect in every way. And, you know, divorce was not part of my story. I never saw that happening in my life. My parents were divorced, none of my aunts and uncles. I didn't know anybody really who was divorced. So for me, it was so foreign, and it was such a failure, and it was such an admittance of failure. And so for me, I had to really get real with myself and allow myself to be vulnerable, which was, you know, very difficult for me at the time. But high amounts of stress and strain on myself and my health physically, and what that was doing to me, just by staying in a marriage that wasn't right for me, was really difficult. And for me, what I learned from it was to be more gentle with myself and be more forgiving of myself, and to have better communication, actually speaking up and saying what I needed and not just trying to please everyone else. And I think I took that into more of my career later on, because I kept doing that same pattern of, I have to be perfect. I have to please everyone. So although I got myself out of that marriage, I hadn't done enough therapy on myself, which I do recommend highly, to actually understand what happened in my youth, you know, and how I was still perpetuating that same pattern throughout my adult life. And then once I found my voice and I actually was able to speak up for myself and to say when something wasn't right or something wasn't serving me, or I could identify, you know, behaviors and bosses that wasn't appropriate, and I would speak up and say something about it. But it took such a long time to get there because I was so conditioned to be perfect. And so actually saying something that might hurt someone else wasn't deemed appropriate for a young lady in the South. So for me, I think that was like some of the biggest lessons. And I was so grateful. I'm so grateful now for all of my experiences, no matter how painful, because I've learned so much. And I think a lot of people can probably relate to parts of that, you know, where you do feel like you have to do everything perfectly, and the pressure that you put on yourself is immense. And so when you finally let go of that and just say, this is who I am, I'm okay with not being perfect, and I'm going to do my best, and I will learn from my failures.
Awesome. I think that your story is a story that would resonate with millions of other people. And, you know, to be able to see it so clearly in retrospect is the gift, right? That's the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that that's what this greater cultural conflict is going to help all of us do, right? When we move through this, when we each shift individually, and then we come together collectively, I do think that it's not just the darkest before the dawn, that the dawn of a new day is going to be the most beautiful day that we can create. It may be a long time from now. We may have way more to learn than we can imagine. but I also liken it to nature, right? It's the seed has to completely bust. It's almost like it has to annihilate for the new birth to begin, or, you know, for the blossom or the plant to take hold or whatever. But point being is that destruction leads to beautiful construction. And so as we round out the hour and we talk about tips and tools for others, I think you've touched on so many powerful things already. In the first part of the hour, you know, you talked about finding balance and how important that is, and you know, doing whatever practice helps you do that. For you, it was yoga. For me, it's yoga. For me, it's also I go to the gym. Therapy you brought up too. Those are things that you can really do to take care of yourself. But I just want to touch on that for a second, because I do believe, and I say this all the time in the workplace, it's easy to point at other people. It is so easy to do. And right now we've got so many leaders that are really easy targets. I mean, it's so easy to do that. But is it effective? Are we making change by pointing the finger? Never, never does that truly work to make positive change, nor to sustain it. So we do have to start with ourselves. And, I have the quote in my home, be the change you wish to see in the world, right? And as trite as it sounds, we've touched on, you know, through this conversation, multiple things that you can do. Everyone knows for themselves what works for them, but you actually have to stop and ask yourself that question. Stop and be conscious and conscientious about, are you being your strongest self today? And if not, give into it. Give into it. Take the nap. Take the day off. Go to yoga. Do what you need to do to reset. But there are other things that you talked about earlier in the hour. Listening, I've touched on that probably three times so far in the conversation, because I don't feel like we could ever say it enough, because I don't think that we could all do it enough. And there are certain techniques around listening that we need to even go deeper into, right? There's listening just for the sake of it. Like, okay, I just want to make sure that this person feels heard, and I'm going to do all the appropriate body language to make sure they know that they're being heard, and I'm going to stay silent and, you know, button my mouth up just so they know they're being heard. There's that, but is that effective? No. It's listening to understand, right? Listen, actually activate your listening with the intention to understand the other person. Meet them where they are. And don't just listen to have a rebuttal. Don't just listen to find the opening to, you know, totally smash their argument. That's not good listening skill, everyone. So these are all things you touched on, being vulnerable, right? You said in your own story, be vulnerable. You had to be vulnerable enough to actually step back and ask yourself, what is this teaching? What's this teaching me about me? I think we all need to ask those questions on a regular basis. You know, if I stumble over a social media tweet and somebody shared it, and the, you know, point of origin was Donald Trump, I immediately feel my blood pressure just go through the roof. And in that moment, I know I'm not going to be effective with anything I say or do in this moment because I can feel rage seeping through my system. So there are things I have to do, right, to get myself back in check and not to let what someone else does pull me off my center, because then I have no capacity to be a light in a dark world. So being vulnerable enough not to fight, but to just sit back and allow yourself to reflect, what is it that this is teaching me about me? We need to start asking that question of ourselves more often. There are just a few more things I want to go into, but I also don't want to dominate the conversation. So Rebecca, what are some other tips and tools you would offer up for others who are really struggling right now with all the divisiveness and all the ugliness and the negativity, and who are really struggling to find hope and to find any energy? They feel overwhelmed by the darkness around us right now during this very transformative period of time. What would you say?
I would just say that if they can just take a moment every day to find something to have gratitude for, because when you have gratitude for what you already have in your life, even if it's the smallest thing, like you're grateful for the sun shining, or you're grateful for hearing a bird singing, or being able to take a walk, or have your pet in your life. Even if it's the smallest thing, you'll begin to see a change in yourself and the way that you look at the world with just that simple thing. I mean, and then if you need a moment, right, I would say figure out a way to have a meditative practice, even if that's just walking. Walking is incredibly important for creating some balance in your life. I find even if I feel terrible, if I feel like I'm like starting to get sick, I will just take a walk outside, and all of a sudden I feel so much better. Like just doing the smallest things can then make you feel so much better in your everyday life. So I think if, you know, take a moment for gratitude and take a moment of time for yourself, and it'll help you see things more clearly.
Yeah, beautiful. I want to take that gratitude tip one step further, because I think that the point you're making about it is extremely important. Gratitude, as you say, a little bit goes a long way. So you're talking about, you know, just being grateful I'm healthy, I can take this walk, I'm grateful for the running water and beauty of this moment in nature, whatever it is, in the simplest terms, has incredible impact on your state of mind. And they have a lot of studies out there now where they're actually looking at the neuroscience behind that, what actually happens inside the brain. And it's thrilling, because we all feel the impact when we take the moment to do it. I want to take it to the next level, because when we're in our darkest hours and we're really being affected pervasively by negativity, I think that the brain also has mechanisms to keep us there, right? We feel oftentimes rebellious toward doing anything to get ourselves out of it. I know I've been there in some of my darkest moments where I actually just kind of wanted to die. Like I knew I probably needed some intervention, but I was in such a dark place, I just didn't want it. So for those of you who have hit that tipping point, right, this is particularly important, that you recognize that you don't want to get out of it, so that you can actually be smarter than your own brain, because it's just a mechanism in your brain. Not, when I say just, I don't mean to minimize it, because it's really heavy and hard, but to be smarter and to step out and envision something bigger than you that you want, right? the love of a grandchild, the love of a child, the a trip you want to take, something to trick yourself up. And then being able to push yourself to that level of gratitude to say, I'm actually glad, I'm actually grateful for this dark moment that pushes me to that next level, right? And sometimes that's retrospective thinking. It's the simple gratitude you're talking about, Rebecca, that helps people in those dark moments to get them out. But the retrospection I still use when I think of those dark moments years ago, I still look back at them and I say, I'm so grateful because when I pushed through that, I actually pushed through to a much higher quality of life in the end than I ever would have had before I hit that dark moment. It can propel us, but gratitude is the gateway to that for sure. And please, for those of you that are in a really dark space, do get a professional intervention. Don't try to handle it on your own. It can be bigger than you, and that's okay. That doesn't mean you're weak when you're in a weak moment. So thank you for joining us today. Check your own beliefs. Make sure that you have an intention for a win-win in those conversations when you're engaging about your conflict and about the greater cultural issues. We hope you'll join the show every week and tune in. We'll be here every Thursday at 3 o'clock. Thank you, Rebecca, for joining me today, and thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you next week.